This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here. It's The Adam Ritz Show. Jay Baker is joining me on the phone. Jay, are you ready to talk about public affairs?
I am, but I got to tell you, I'm a little discombobulated now that we've gone to daylight savings time. Did we gain an hour? Did we lose an hour? Sometimes someone has to explain it to me.
All I know is it's going to be lighter later. And that's all I want through the winter. I want lighter later.
If livestock gets a little confused, you're willing to trade that because you're going to have better light conditions later in the day. You can take a walk when you get home.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I am going to take a walk, I think, every night until the time changes.
There you go. Well, it is trying to be spring here in America. And yes, daylight savings time is part of it. I kid around just a little bit that I'm discombobulated, but people do sometimes remain a bit foggy until everything catches up, your internal clock and the external clocks. But outside of getting some rest and being careful, this is kind of a great time of the year, as you said.
This is one of the great times of the year. Springtime, the basketball tournament, the weather, the sunlight. It's just a fantastic time of year. And I love getting outside and not giving up. We talked about this on a previous show with seasonal depression and when it gets dark so early. I tend to just, for the day, I give up. When it gets dark, I'm done. If I have my to-do list, if I don't have it complete by sundown, it ain't getting done. I am done. I give up when it gets dark outside. So when the time changes and it gets lighter later, I tend to get more done. I feel better about myself. I'm more productive. And then the whole physical aspect of it, just a simple walk after dinner makes me feel better, maybe trims a few pounds. My pants feel a little better when I go take a 2-3 mile walk after dinner. But you know what? When it's dark outside, I ain't walking. You know why, Jay? Because I'm done. I've given up. I already gave up and I'm not walking.
No, I'm with you. And like you said, if this is an uplifting time of the year, then it is a good time to sort of get reinvigorated. Taking a walk is a great way to sort of help your fitness and help your mood.
Jay, I wanted to, I've got a music story for you that's really interesting. We talk a lot about music on this show and how it connects to the world of public affairs, mostly with charity work and benefit concerts. But before I get to this music story, I wanted to mention we're talking about springtime and what a great time of year this is. There's a great charity we've covered over the last several years with Jersey Mike's Subs. It's the Jersey Mike's 16th annual Month of Giving. It goes through the entire month of March, culminating with their Day of Giving on Wednesday, March 25th. That's the day all sales, 100% of their sales, not a portion of the proceeds, Jay. This is all sales will go to the 2026 Special Olympics U.S. Games. So that's a pretty fantastic cause right there. The Summer Olympic Games for Special Olympics will be held in June of 26 in Minnesota. And you can, do your part to help out, help fund it, finance it, raise awareness for it, and have a pretty darn good sandwich in the meantime with Jersey Mike's Day of Giving on Wednesday, March 25th.
I love Jersey Mike's, and then this gives me an added incentive to make sure I head to Jersey Mike's on their Day of Giving. And I am with you. I'm impressed that it's not like we're going to give profits. It's like, no, we're giving the entire receipts from a single day of business at all the Jersey Mike's locations.
And they've done it 16 years now, 16 years in a row. I don't know if what's the guy's name that played Louis on Taxi, their spokesperson? Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito,
He's their spokesperson. I don't know if Danny DeVito is going to be behind one of the counters making sandwiches. According to their TV ads, he should be, and he is. maybe look for Danny DeVito in a Jersey Mike's near you making subs for their Day of Giving in the Special Olympics. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. You were talking a little bit about music artists that are out doing some great stuff. Lita Ford has signed on to headline this year's Rock for Ronnie concert in the park. That happens in the Autry Museum of the American West at Griffith Park in L.A. The proceeds benefit the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. So Ronnie James Dio, who left us far too early due to cancer, his legacy lives on, and it's always great to see artists sign up for this.
What a fun event for a great cause. I mean, if you like hair metal, Lita Ford, she still rocks. I don't want to put you on the spot and ask who else is going to perform, but is there a list of other performers?
Right now, there is not a list. Lita will headline, and they'll undoubtedly have a pretty strong lineup as they get closer to concert time. But we did want to mention that because I feel like this show sort of highlights that, hey, rock stars are out there doing stuff for the public good.
That is awesome. If I had a chance to see Lita Ford, I would do it. Throw in a little Ronnie James Dio Cancer Foundation work. Sign me up. That sounds pretty fantastic. Jay, I wanted to mention before we move on, I just looked up how much the Day of Giving for Jersey Mike's subs raised last year.
Right.
Because I was trying to think. We were talking about all proceeds, not just the profits, but all gross sales from that day go to the charity event. $30 million last year alone. In March of 2025, $30 million was raised for their Month of Giving campaign. So usually with something this big, this national, this corporate, that's been going on for this many years, it gets bigger and better every single year. So we will report how much was raised this March, and I'm going to bet it's going to be more than $30 million. So if you're listening, do your part, help out, have a sandwich, give some money to the Special Olympics. Now, Jay, here's that music story I was going to mention. This
yes.
This is so interesting. There is a little bit of a somber note to it. It's fatal car crash data, okay? Fatal car crash data in America. This is a study done by Harvard and was just released this week. There is data that new music is linked to an increase in fatal car crashes.
How weird.
When new music drops. So when you think of like the hot new album from the hot artist, when they drop their album, people are downloading it while they drive. So it absolutely falls into the category of distracted driving. Most states have laws against using your smartphone or your device while you're driving. People are downloading the new album in their car and they're crashing. And that's why fatal car crash data is increased on days when new music is released. Isn't that both a little bit somber, tragic, and amazingly interesting at the same time?
It is amazing that there is a connection between the two, because you would never think to correlate that, you know?
No, and you wonder too, there's so many artists and there's so much music and content and media that there, you would think every single day of the year there's a new album being released. So I wonder what the part of the article I read did not mention, like, if there's a certain Friday that's traditionally more, it gives into more record sales if you drop your album on date X versus date Y. And if everybody just does it on date X, and that's why the stats have increased for crashes on that day. But I don't know. It's something to think about. I think it's worth mentioning on a public affairs radio show. So the next time you're in your car and your favorite artist drops their new album, think, hey, you know what? I just heard on the radio that they were talking about how car crashes increase when new music comes out because people are downloading the songs in their car. I'm going to wait until I'm parked and out of the car and do this in my house.
Yeah, we've always said that distracted driving, never a good idea.
And I think, you know, even outside of actually downloading it while you're driving, let's say you did download it in your house. Well, now you're in your car. That's when you want to hear it really loud on your car speakers. So now you're fumbling around with your thumbs and you're, you know, on your touchscreen trying to get the song to play while you should be looking at the road with your hands at 10 and 2. Distracted driving, it is illegal for a reason.
Yeah, it is. Wow, that's a strange story. Hey, we were talking a little bit about Metallica and their connection with the American Red Cross and got a little bit of clarification on exactly what's going on with the Red Cross and Metallica. Metallica is going to be honored at the 2026 Red Cross Gala in California, and we had kind of mentioned that before on another one of our shows. They'll be actually recognized as the Visionary Partner of the Year. In a statement, the band thanked the Red Cross for their recognition, the fans for their support, adding seeing fans, volunteers, and entire community show up again and again shows just how much this work matters. Last year, the band, of course, teamed up with the Red Cross to set up blood drives alongside concert stops. They were out on the M72 tour. And I'm just amazed that no one had thought of making this connection in the past. You know, anytime bands tour to the extent that Metallica does, they do have a number of repeat fans, and so why not induce them to give blood to the Red Cross?
And what a cool thing to do at a Metallica concert. It's very rock and roll. I mean, throw your hands up with the rock fingers while there's somebody injecting a needle in your vein to get your blood.
Yeah, usually when we hear about needle use, it's something that's like, oh no, you shouldn't have told me that story.
I mean,
this is good needle use.
How times have changed. It wasn't too long ago when the needles in your arm at a rock concert meant something completely different. Now it's a cool thing for a great cause, and the Red Cross is giving awards for it.
Hey, Mom and Dad, Metallica came to town and I got the needle. Oh, no. Johnny,
exactly,
this
right.
is bad news. No, no, Mom, it's good.
No, Mom.
It's good.
Metallica came to town and I got the needle.
Metallica said that they liked it and the Red Cross liked it. So everyone was happy. Yeah.
Oh, that we need. They need logos and banners all plastered all over the trucks outside the concert arena, saying, "You know, get the needle with Metallica."
Yeah, that's strong. Okay. That is strong. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. The Visionary Partner of the Year, which is a pretty prestigious award and one that you wouldn't necessarily associate with a rock and roll band, so that's pretty cool. Here's a note about pet ownership. You'll love this. Pet owners spend more on pets than their own personal health. There's a brand new survey that has said that, you know, owning a pet can be rewarding. In fact, it's even kind of recommended if you are a single person. Sometimes the companionship of a pet can really help. However, it can be pretty pricey as well. New research reveals people are spending money on their cats and dogs and how many of them splurge more than they do on themselves. According to a new survey, 1,500 pet parents, 72% shell out between $50 and $200 every month on pet food, grooming, pet insurance, vet bills, and toys.
It is an amazing industry. And I use that term. I think pet owners don't like to refer to their pet as an industry. It's a member of the family, you know, with unconditional love. But it is an industry. There's so much money involved. Pet food, Pet Smart, Pet Co., all these pet stores. Have you seen the video for it's a viral reel of a guy asking if it's Pet Smart or Pets Mart?
Oh, no, but that's a great commercial idea.
He says, and I've been singing it in my head all week. It's so funny that you brought up this story about pet owners. So the question is, and he's singing it. He's in a suit and tie, like in a work office, and he has a microphone, like he's singing in a band. And he says, like it's like heavy metal punk rock. He goes, "I've got a question. Is it Pet Smart or is it Pets Mart? Are you saying you're a mart for pets, or are you saying that pets are smart?" And then he screams, "I need an answer!" And the guys in the everybody just starts throwing paper and copiers and Xerox machines. It's punk rock. Are you saying you're a pet for are you saying you're a mart for pets, or are you saying that pets are smart? Now, Jay, if you haven't seen this, any of our listeners, if you have not seen this, now that we described it, you're going to see it online and you will laugh. Because it is amazing. Hats off to those gentlemen for making that video. And hats off to Jay Baker for bringing up this pet ownership story.
Well, and yes, so the basic bottom line is it says, good, spend some money on your furry friends, but don't neglect your own health and well-being. You know, don't send your pets to a private school when you're not going to the doctor is what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, take care of yourself. I mean, put your put the oxygen mask on yourself before you help others around you. That applies to pet ownership as well.
Absolutely. Here's kind of a meat and potatoes issue, Adam, and this comes up at a time with public colleges in your state would we say state supported colleges, many universities and colleges in a given state do accept state and national money to help keep them afloat as an institute of higher learning. But right now, there is a minor controversy. We live in a state where national auditors are coming in, and they're sort of deciding whether the curriculum and course offerings and also degree offerings sort of line up with what is good for the public interest.
That is very interesting. Maybe it's good to have a little oversight there on those public universities.
It's not a bad idea. I know you and I used to joke during our university days, you know, like, oh, I met somebody and they're majoring in basket weaving. And, you know, that was said kind of, you know, condescendingly that they're getting a very esoteric degree program. But a lot of universities are dropping some of their degrees if those degrees don't align with, you know, basic, almost common sense.
No, and you just hit the nail on the head. It makes sense. It makes sense that in 1983, one of my classes in high school was called typing. Do you remember typing class?
Oh, yeah. Whatever they called it.
There was a class for at least late junior high, if not early high school. So eighth, ninth grade, there was a class that you took to teach you how to type. You tell that to kids today and their minds are blown because they've learned to type with their thumbs on a smartphone by age 6 and they can just whiz through a keyboard on their laptop by age 10. And dad needed a class in high school to teach him how to do this.
Yeah. And when is the last time you saw a typewriter, you know, just as a standalone device that wasn't in a flea market, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're paperweights now.
Well, of interest, they just did a national salary survey with the National Association of Colleges, and the employers chimed in on this as well. And the organization actually took a look at which upcoming curriculum and course offerings and degrees aligned with being able to make money in the upcoming years. You know, there is a concern that AI may take away all of our jobs. You know, that's at least what we've heard. The truth is probably going to be, no, you just have to choose wisely. So that's why I said this is a meat and potatoes topic. Computer science grads look like they'll make the most amount of money as degrees move towards the future. And finance may be the most versatile of all degrees moving forward in the upcoming years. So if you've ever bumped into a finance major, I know a handful who have done very well. Could be coincidental, but it does seem to be a degree that has some validity moving forward.
That is a great point to make. A lot of people discussions are like what jobs will be available in the future with all this AI takeover, finance, business. That's great to know. I know I would suggest that to the younger generation as well.
So I won't belabor the point, but they did come up with a list of the most in-demand bachelor degrees and finance, mechanical engineering, computer science, which, as we said, may be the most lucrative of upcoming degrees. But we've also been warned by some friends of ours, Adam, that the actual computer science itself, that may be an area where AI could take over in the not too distant future.
Is radio broadcast journalism on the list?
I'm going to look. It doesn't appear to be.
It doesn't appear.
You and I know that, you know, anybody going into radio, that's just a good, wise choice, one that you'll never regret.
You know, Jay, this side note, here's an aside for you. I worked early in my radio career. I worked with a gentleman who had two majors from Notre Dame University, and he was working at the radio station I was working at on the air, and we used to mess with him so bad. We used to say, your parents, he wasn't a high dollar paid air personality or radio DJ, but it was his job, and he made, back in the day, over 20 years ago, he was making about 35 grand a year. And which wasn't bad back in those days.
No.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. But it was terrible for a guy that just spent $400,000 on his Notre Dame degrees.
It's funny you brought this up, because when you first mentioned it, I thought, gosh, who was that? Now I know who you're referring to. And yes, that used to crack me up too. I would always see him after you guys had, quote, given him the business.
Yeah.
And he would go on and on. I think Adam doesn't like me. He's making fun of me. And I said, no, I think he's just pointing out that a Notre Dame degree is probably not needed for this line of work.
Now he's. But,
yes, you were so correct.
I would.
The alignment of money spent on education and then career path didn't align real well.
But I would guess he's getting the last laugh. I need to look him up and see how he's doing. He you know, in these days of radio consolidation and how radio has changed, I'm sure that he has gotten out of the business and gone back to his double major from Notre Dame, and he's probably doing just fine right now. In fact, he might even hire me.
He's probably listening to this show on his own island in the Caribbean.
Yeah,
that's funny.
He's in a Bentley listening to us right now. You know what? He's not going to hire me. Not after I made fun of him for blowing his career in college on a radio career.
That's so funny. Yeah, he used to go on and on. But, you know, you got to have fun with your coworkers. You know, creates a more loving workplace.
Yeah.
Hey, how comfortable would you be taking a driverless taxi?
Not very. No, I don't want to do that.
you're not the only one, but the Waymo company, which is one of the top companies involved in driverless taxis, they now are available in 10 cities across the United States. So this is happening a little quicker than maybe people had planned.
10 cities. Now, the last I heard about Waymo, all like 8 to 10 of their cars like stopped working in the middle of an intersection because of a power outage or something.
Yes.
Do you remember that story?
Yes. And I'm going to guess when something like that happens, that gives them some, I don't know, if you will, like some ideas on how they can help create a better product, because you're right. If a power outage could make your driverless taxi block the intersection, that doesn't sound safe, does it?
No, and while it gives them an opportunity to fix that bug and make their product better, what it does for me is it gives me an opportunity to say, I'm not getting inside a driverless car.
Yeah, well, but here's what's interesting. If you're saying to yourself, hey, I'd like to give it a whirl, it's going to be available quite soon, if not already, in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, Atlanta, Orlando, and Miami. So that's a pretty good lineup.
You know, the population in those metropolises are huge. The amount of traffic is overwhelming. I would just, if I got into a driverless car, I would want to do it in a city that doesn't have a lot of people.
Yeah, no, you're not thinking incorrectly. And I guess, too, to me, in terms of taxi, this is an overgeneralization, you do think in terms of you might be in an urban area. And, you know, you're just going from intersection to intersection. You're not traveling out on the interstate at a high rate of speed. To me, that would alter my comfort level.
Yeah, I think I guess for me, it's the just the amount of traffic. The more cars on the road, the more, you know, obstacles, the more touch points to get into an accident. Give me a driverless car in, I don't know, the middle of Iowa. I'll jump in that one. Yeah. If it runs off the road, I'll go in a cornfield and hit a soft corn stalk and get out and walk home.
Yeah, but I just thought, to me, driverless taxi, I mean, that is like vision of the future. It really seems almost crazy, doesn't it?
It's a Jimmy Cab. Is that what they were called in that Schwarzenegger movie, Total Recall? The Jimmy Cab?
Yeah, the Jimmy Cab.
Now, in that movie, they actually had like a mannequin of a person, like a fake person in the driver's seat to make you feel like there was actually – does Waymo go to that level and put a mannequin in the driver's seat?
Waymo has not revealed their plans to put a mannequin in the front seat.
Or like in the movie Airplane with the inflatable pilot. I want an inflatable driver in my Waymo. That would make me feel better, and I might use a driverless car.
Absolute positive choices all around. You can't lose. Can you imagine being in charge of, I'm the guy that finds the mannequin driver for you in your Waymo. And I like to kind of switch it up. It's a little different in every city. So if you're in, let's say, San Antonio, might be kind of a cowboy mannequin, you know?
Yeah, he's got a cowboy hat. He might look like Clint Eastwood. He's got a cowboy hat on for sure. And in New York, he's got a Mets hat on and a New York Knicks satin
Mets
jacket.
Fan. Sure.
Jimmy Cab. All right. Well, you know what, Jay? We've been having so much fun here. Our time, I think, is about up. I wanted to thank you for all your hard work. I want to remind everybody, you know, that clock change, it did happen. So I know digitally the atomic clocks change themselves. Your smartphone will change itself. But that pesky digital clock on your oven, good luck trying to figure out how to change the time on that oven.
Yeah, that's the tough one.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate your work. And for all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you want to hear the show in podcast form, all of our previous shows are on the website, AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.